Man, remember when the Dolphins were like, you know, the greatest show on Smurf or Turf or what were they doing? Surf. Yeah. Oh, that was like what, just last year?
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
Streaming live on YouTube.
You're going to break up with me because of what I do on the radio?
Here's Theo Dorsey.
Good. I started off the show a little discombobulated because I got a text in one of my group chats here. Said, Theo, yo, you going viral. And I'm like, wait, let me make sure I didn't have a Shannon Sharp incident or anything. And I'm not Instagram Live. Nothing happened there. I believe I still have a great enough paywall on my OnlyFans to where that wouldn't be getting leaked out there.
Oh, only a select few.
Yeah, yeah. The few, the proud, actually. But no, apparently, I guess the Tyler Hero response to the Knicks question about Karl Anthony Towns making the going to the Knicks, making the Timberwolves better. Apparently, that's getting hot somewhere. So we'll see where that traction is gaining up. I got nervous. I always get nervous when people say something like that with no context, because, again, there's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of motion happening out here, especially on a Tuesday following a Monday Night Football where I might have fired off some tweets last night that could have angered some folks as I was. I wouldn't say I took on the sorrow of Dolphins fans. I wouldn't say that specifically happened to me, but I did for some reason feel just in proximity, in close proximity to the tragedy that's been going on out there at Hard Rock Stadium for the Miami Dolphins. It does nothing for the joy that I try to have when I'm watching football. By the way, C-Cat on the other side of the glass on the ones and twos, it's your boy Theo Dorsey. We're theoretically speaking. Aren't you glad we have two Monday Night Football games now?
Oh, it's fantastic. And also, the reason why you were feeling some type of way last night is because you were bottles of champagne deep.
Yes.
It was solo Theo at the crib, and you had no barriers to how much you could drink last night.
My wife actually is on a trip right now. She's kicking it with the fam, so I did enjoy it myself. One bottle of champagne. And that's what I was straight out of the bottle. So straight bachelor lifestyle out of the bottle. That was the only bit of alcohol I just had on hand. A nice bottle of champagne. Shout out my guy, Larry from Boynton, who gifted that bottle to me and my wife. And I think that was, he gave it to us for our marriage, right? For our wedding.
Yeah, to share, to celebrate the wedding.
To share. And because we are married and we are one, Larry from Boynton, I shared it with her in essence of I had it all last night. As I watched the Dolphins look like a non-factor on Monday Night Football.
I don't know if that's depressing or the dream. Sipping champagne out the bottle by yourself, watching not one but two Monday Night Football games.
And that's the good thing is at least it became like a thing of like, oh, yes. I kept forgetting too, like midway through, like, oh, yeah, I can divert my attention to this actual good football being played between the Seahawks and the Lions. And I will tell you right now, C-Cat, it's the dream. It's obviously the dream. Right. I was actually multitasking. I'm working on some stuff from our Heat Media Day stuff. I'm watching some football happen on the big screen and on the smaller screen and drowning my and again in proximity sorrows in the Dolphins loss 31-12. 31-12, and it wasn't that close. The Dolphins lost at home at Hard Rock Stadium to a Titans team that I mean, if you had one excuse for the Miami Dolphins last night, it would be, hey man, you know, you got you're bringing in Tyler Huntley off the practice squad. He only got about a week of prep for this. I mean, we've known he was going to be starting since they actually signed him, so let's not act like this was a game-time decision. So, yeah, Mike McDaniel, who is this offensive genius, we credit him for being such. A guy who squoze the most out of Tua Tagovailoa, at least we were told that. And he got a week of practice with Tyler Huntley, who we've seen come in a backup role and almost win a playoff game for the Ravens, also win a bunch of them for them down the stretch to help them make the playoffs when Lamar Jackson got hurt. So Tyler Huntley, we've seen under other coaching, be a formidable backup who can win football games at a high level when you need them most.
And make the Pro Bowl.
And
Pro Bowl or Tyler Huntley that you're talking about right there. He did. I mean, facts
I know he
facts.
Made the Pro Bowl, but you gotta. It's almost whenever somebody like whenever you're talking about somebody in the NFL, especially quarterbacks, and the accolade that you choose to describe them by is Pro Bowler, or he made the Pro Bowl, that's how you know that player's not good.
Hey, how about this number that I recited yesterday on Theoretically Speaking? Highest completion percentage in his last year at Utah.
Yeah.
So
yeah, Tyler Huntley's a good quarterback. I'm not here to disparage him. This is not his fault.
Didn't mean to get you off track. Continue.
You got me off track only because whenever it's almost like you are disparaging him by crediting him for that Pro Bowl appearance and saying that's why he's good. There's other reasons why he's good. I already said that. I talked about his Ravens run. Shut up about the damn Pro Bowl. That doesn't matter. Mac Jones is a Pro Bowler. And look where he's at now, backing up maybe the worst $50 million quarterback in the history of the league. I got off base. Back to the Dolphins. Y'all aren't escaping this thing right now. We're 5 minutes into Theoretically Speaking. He's getting me distracted, C-Cat, because he's trying to protect you from your own feelings. I asked a question on Twitter here, at Theo Dorsey TV. Do the Miami Dolphins have a coaching problem or do they have a quarterback problem? And I'm here to tell you, it is quite clearly a coaching problem with Mike McDaniel. He is the reason why the Dolphins are unable to compete at even a, not even a high level, but unable to look competitive, unable to look like an actual factor. They look like a bunch of non-factors out there on all three phases of the ball in the regular season, and damn it, a couple of years ago in the postseason as well, when they don't have their starting quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. That's a coaching problem in the NFL today, because when I look around the rest of the league, I see good coaches getting the best out of players who might not stack up as much on paper, especially at the quarterback position. It's no longer an excuse to say, oh, I don't have my starting quarterbacks, so we can forfeit away this game, or I can be excused for looking not competitive at home against a winless team. The team that the Dolphins faced last night and got beat 31-12 against, what happened midway through the first quarter for them, C-Cat? I think I missed that part when I was drowning in the bubbly from Larry from Boynton.
Will Levis got hurt.
Will Levis gets hurt. In comes Mason Rudolph. In comes Mason Rudolph. And Brian Callahan finds a way to drop 30 points on the road with a winless team with Mason Rudolph coaching that team or quarterbacking that team through 3.5 quarters. But the Miami Dolphins, who got a full week of practice, who knew they had Tyler Huntley going in, not only were they incompetent throughout the game, through their first 10 drives in total, and I'm talking about with Tyreek Hill on the outside, Jalen Waddle on the outside, Devon Achane in the backfield, Jalen Wright, a guy you got in the draft that you feel so strong about. I know you don't have Teron Armstead. I know Raheem Mostert sat out, but that shouldn't be your excuse. Through their first 10 drives, they had 84 total yards. How do you go 10 drives, 84 yards at home against the winless Titans? A team that has, I wouldn't even say low expectations, no expectations for competing at a high level in this league this year. They had their backup quarterback out there. At the very least, you would think you're able to create some turnovers against Mason Rudolph, or at least know, hey, let's load the box up. They're going to try to run the ball. Let's make Mason Rudolph beat us. But on all three phases, offensively, defensively, stopping the run, special teams, nothing about the Dolphins last night was inspiring. Nothing about them was anything close to what we were calling Mike McDaniel just a year ago today when we were saying they're the greatest show on surf. That sounded so cool, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, surf, Dolphins, they're lighting it up. They dropped 70 against the Broncos in week 3 of last year. They were undefeated at the time. It was such a magical time. And we credited them and crowned them so early, so much so that this offseason the Dolphins re-signed Mike McDaniel through 2029. Re-signed Tua Tagovailoa through 2028, 2029, depending on where you think they can get out of that contract for $50-plus million a year. They're going to break all of Dan Marino's records. This is going to be one of the biggest offensive shows that we've ever seen. But you just take one piece out of that equation in Tua, and they go from the greatest show on turf to a puke show. That's coaching. That's coaching to me, and it's quite clear. It's not that the Dolphins have a quarterback problem with the ambiguity around whether or not Tua will return or what time he'll come back for the Dolphins. That's a coaching problem if he's not able to get, again, above average level football out of that football team that you've invested that much money in on the weapons side and even on defensive side. They've got to be able to stop the Titans. The Dolphins are in trouble, and they've recommitted to a coach who I don't think can get them over the hump. 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. Do the Miami Dolphins, who dropped to the Titans 31-12 at home, Hard Rock Stadium, 184 total yards, not through the air, total yards, under 100 yards passing with Tyler Huntley. Do the Dolphins have a quarterback problem, or do they have a coaching problem? And when I tweeted this out, C-Cat, everybody said both.
Well, it's hard to say they don't have a singular quarterback problem. You look across the league, you're seeing a lot better quarterback play and a lot more quarterback health than what you're getting in Miami. But I'm kind of with you here. We are seeing quarterbacks, backup quarterbacks, second, third, fourth team quarterbacks succeed with less weapons than the Dolphins have had.
Yeah.
The excuses are running out for Miami. You got to be competitive. Maybe you don't have to win in crunch time. Maybe the Dolphins put up a fight and still lost to a bad Titans team. But they look like garbage. They look like JV.
They look like they didn't belong on the field. I'm going through the box score right here. You couldn't even find a rushing attack. Tyler Huntley was their leading rusher last night. 8 carries for 40 yards and a touchdown. Behind him, you get 3 carries from Jalen Wright, 32 yards. 10 carries from Devon Achane, who was supposed to be the second coming of Marshall Faulk, right? Greatest show on turf. There goes your Marshall Faulk. 10 carries and 15 yards. Averaging 1.5 yards per carry. You get more on a tush push. I don't. 3 carries for Tyreek Hill for 19 yards. You pay Jalen Waddle $30 million a year. You restructure Tyreek Hill's contract, but you only find a way to get both of them 8 receptions. Not each. Total. 8 receptions between Waddle and Hill, and they combine for less than 60 yards. That is a scheming problem. That is a coaching problem. We've seen Tyler Huntley look good in this league. On the other side of the ball, we saw Mason Rudolph beat you. I look around the league and I say, wait, what are the good coaches doing when they lose their quarterback? Well, I think we can all agree the coach out there in Green Bay, Matt LaFleur, he's a good coach. He's a good coach.
Doing okay. Not many offensive weapons, but making the most of it.
A bunch of no-name receivers. I believe one first-round draft pick in the midst of that in Christian Watson, who's either unhealthy or underperforming most of the time for the Packers. And, well, let's see what he does. Year one of Jordan Love, they make it all the way to the playoffs. They beat the Cowboys on the road. First year starting for Jordan Love. That has a lot to do with coaching. Also, obviously, the elite talent of Jordan Love. This year, you lose that close game to the Eagles. You lose Jordan Love in that game. You got 3 weeks without him, or actually 2 weeks without him, where you have to bring in a guy in Malik Willis who was so bad that the Titans would rather have Mason Rudolph as the backup this year to Will Levis than keep Malik Willis on the roster. So they let him walk. The Packers bring him in as a backup. Malik Willis, the Liberty grad, who really, there were no prospects of him ever succeeding in the league after what we saw him do for the Titans back when, again, they had bad coaching. There's a common denominator in all of this, C-Cat. There's bad coaching, and then there's bad quarterback play, and a lot of times they're tied together. Bad coaching for Malik Willis last year with the Titans, he looked like an absolute scrub. Good coaching this year, Malik Willis with Matt LaFleur and the Packers, 2-0, moving the ball on offense. They had the greatest rushing attack in the NFL through those two games. This is coaching. This is a coaching problem that the Dolphins are suffering from, not a quarterback problem. The team they lost to last night, backup quarterback won that game for him. I look across the league. Joe Flacco steps in for Anthony Richardson in the middle of that game for the Colts. First half. Was that first quarter? Can't remember.
It was early in the game.
Early in the game, Joe Flacco has to sub in for Anthony Richardson. The Colts find a way to win. Oh, who's their head coach? Shane Steichen, the same guy that coached up Jalen Hurts to a second place MVP finish, to a Super Bowl appearance. And what happens to the Eagles and Jalen Hurts once Shane Steichen leaves that room? They absolutely suck on offense. Jalen Hurts has never lived up to what he was under Shane Steichen, and he may never see those heights again because, again, this is not to disparage Jalen Hurts. This is to credit good coaching in the NFL. We've seen it with Kyle Shanahan year after year, not only squeezing good quarterback play out of Jimmy Garoppolo and then the replacements that kept coming in for the 49ers because they stay. I mean, I don't know what it is about the 49ers. C-Cat, you think your apartment is haunted? That team is haunted with injuries year after year after year. And we'll give an update later on about Christian McCaffrey because they're dealing with that as well. Maybe no better coach at coding injuries and coding having a deficiency of talent because of some kind of reason for either holding out or they're not able to play because of injury than Kyle Shanahan, who's won with a bevy of quarterbacks in San Francisco. And then again, last year, who was the coach of the year? He was out there in Cleveland with the Browns. It was Kevin Stefanski. He was coach of the year not because he was able to take a good quarterback and make him great. No, because he was able to coach up Joe Flacco, who had to come in for Deshaun Watson, and he helped bring the Browns to a playoff appearance with a washed-up Joe Flacco. It's a coaching problem for the Miami Dolphins. I'm not smart enough to tell you exactly what Mike McDaniel should be doing better, but you know who is? You know, there is one coach here in South Florida who does seem to have the answers when he doesn't necessarily have all the tools in his toolbox, including his most important player. And we heard from him today. That coach is not with the Miami Hurricanes. He's not with the Miami Dolphins. He's with the Miami Heat. Here's Eric Spoelstra from training camp giving a little wisdom to the Dolphins.
You know, what you really just want in those scenarios is just somehow to quiet all the chaos and noise from the outside. Everything just starts to ramp up, and that's the nature of the business. We signed up for it. I recognize the noise when I hear it and when I see it. It's probably, you know, what makes me feel alive. It's probably, you know, what makes fan bases and inexperienced people really super uncomfortable. But this is the nature of pro sports.
It was the last part of what Eric Spoelstra just said right there. And apologize for the noise in the audio. That was a tweet from Ira Winderman, the Heat beat reporter. That was basketballs all in the background dribbling. But if you listen in there, Spoelstra said the adversity that the Dolphins are facing and the adversity that the Miami Heat have faced when they're without guys like Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo and even Tyler Hero in the playoffs, he thrives in that kind of environment. He seeks out that kind of tension because he's a maniac. He's a dude that loves, he absolutely loves when his back is against the wall. The Dolphins need a guy like Eric Spoelstra right now because I'm not quite sure that's an environment in which Mike McDaniel thrives. He seems like, at least from the outside looking in, a guy who is at his best when everything around him is hunky-dory, when everything around him is churning in the right direction, when there's all smiles, all joy, contract extensions left and right, you get a bag, you get a bag, you get a pat on the back, you get a friendly high five. And I'm not saying that's wrong. That's just not the current state of the Dolphins today. They're an absolute trash bag right now when it comes to playing on the field. And you need a maniac in that room who's able to tell, hey, I don't give a damn who it is, next man up. We got to figure out a way to move the ball. We got to figure out a way to be competitive against some of these gritty teams like the Tennessee Titans, or especially the teams they got to face in their own division. Call up Spo. Get him to at least give him a little locker room huddle, a little some kind of an inspiring speech or something. Every time I listen to that dude talk, especially about what the Heat have left in the cupboard and how they're going to compete against the East, I start to believe a little bit.
I was listening to the Dolphins on the radio coming back from Heat Media Day after dropping you off, and I didn't see this play live, but I watched the replay. First drive of the game, swing pass to Tyreek Hill. It's a backward pass.
Yeah.
Hill drops it. Hill stumbles around, does not hustle to the football to pick up the fumble. That is very controllable. We talk about how hustle is within your control. You don't need to be taught it. You don't need to train for it. You just have to give your all.
It's about will.
The first drive of the game, third play on offense for the Dolphins of the game, you can't hustle down and try to fight for a loose ball. That's coaching.
Yeah.
You're a star player. I don't care. Go after the football.
You know who wouldn't be doing that? Caleb Martin, Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler. They need Eric Spoelstra. The Miami Heat without Jimmy Butler since 2021, 37-28. And I get basketball is a different sport. The NBA is a little bit different. But you got to have your stars to win in the NBA. If there's any league where you cannot afford to be without your stars, it's that one. 37-28 without Jimmy Butler. The Dolphins without Tua Tagovailoa, 1-6. And Tua is not Josh Allen. He is not Patrick Mahomes. He is not Lamar Jackson. He is not even Jordan Love. We don't think of him in that criteria of quarterback. You can't sit here and lie to me today and act as if you're grouping Tua in with the elite of the elites, the superstars, the can't win without him guys. If he's not in that group and the Dolphins struggle without him in such a sufficient way, and also, by the way, they haven't looked good even when Tua was healthy this year. They look bad. They've looked bad out of the gates against the Jaguars. They were bad, and they were able to come back because of Travis Etienne fumble. Shout out Javon Holland. Contract year, Javon Holland, the safety for the Dolphins. He's going to make his bag if he can make plays like that, winning plays for the Dolphins. They got absolutely stumped out by the Bills before Tua got hurt. Remember, they were down 21 points. That's why Tua was hustling on that third down, trying to make a play where there was none to be made in the passing game. So he scrambled and he went a little too far. Hits DeMar Hamlin. Now we don't know when he's going to come back to football. This Dolphins team has not been good. And they continue to prove that week in and week out. 1-3 right now, likely on a trajectory to be a top 10 pick in the NFL draft this next year. And I don't even think drafting a quarterback would be the answer. I think the problem right now is with your coaching. And I don't know how you solve it because you just recommitted to that guy. There's a lot of people calling for the general manager's job. That ain't in my ball court. I ain't going to go that far. We do have a general manager joining us today in Mike Tannenbaum. We'll ask him about his feelings on the state of the Dolphins today. But for me, as I watch it from afar here and I see what's going on, people are talking about the quarterback situation in Miami. It is a coaching situation in Miami. And I think Mike McDaniel needs to look inwardly and figure out how to fix it. Maybe he gets some mentorship from my guy, Eric Spoelstra. C-Cat, I can't wait for this big event out here in Boca Raton. If you're looking for a ray of sunshine, if you're a Dolphins fan in South Florida, or maybe you just want to have a good time in general, the annual Boca Raton Bowl's ABC Supply Great Chefs Tailgate Showcase presented by Boca Raton Innovation Campus and CP Group, that heats up on Tuesday, October 15th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. Join us. Join the squad. Pull up on the team as we are going to be at Brick in Boca Raton. We're going to have dozens of local chefs, breweries, and cocktail masters serve up their favorite tailgate classics. Tickets are on sale right now. It includes food samplings, entertainment, beer, wine, cocktails, and soft drinks. Visit spiritofgivingnetwork.org/events to purchase your tickets today. Tap in with us. Walt on the YouTube stream, Walt, who is tapped in with us on YouTube, our stream is presented by Prize Picks at Theo Speaking. You can join us live every single day. He's saying for the Dolphins, fire the head coach and the GM. That will be Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel. I got some news for you. They're not firing Mike McDaniel anytime soon. I don't know what the details of that contract are, but they just extended him this offseason. He's stuck. But he's saying fire the head coach and the general manager, draft Travis Hunter or Shador Sanders or Cam Ward and hire Sanders as head coach? He wants Deion Sanders to come in and save the day?
Tell you what, it'd make our job a whole lot easier. If Deion Sanders was the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, that would make our – I would love that. Are you kidding me? Because it's stretched enough talking about Colorado football just because Deion's there. Now Deion's within the vicinity. Hey, we get Deion Sanders weekly on Theoretically Speaking. I think he'd sign up for that.
I think he would as well. If there's anybody that can make that connection, it's you, C-Cat.
Yeah, me and him are like two peas in a pod.
Locked in, twin. You know, next year the Dolphins have $70 million against the cap between Tua and Tyreek Hill. $70 million against the cap. Cap's about $260.
Well, what I want to, you know, we talked preseason once Tua got his big contract and once Tua came out and talked about how bad of a human being his former head coach Brian Flores was and how great of a human being Mike McDaniel is and how Mike McDaniel is the keys to make the Tua train really chug, chug, chug down the track. Evan Cohen went on Sportsmanlike and was talking about how, well, good for Mike McDaniel. He automatically is the head coach of the Dolphins until Tua is not the quarterback of the Dolphins. That's his job security right there. Well, when you predicate your coach based on the quarterback, once you lose your quarterback, why is the head coach there? What's this guy bringing to the table? If he is the secret sauce to make Tua Tagovailoa worth the high draft pick we used on him, what, 4 or 5 years ago? If he can't win without Tua, he's pretty one-trick pony. And that's kind of unfortunate because you kind of want consistency at the head coaching position. Quarterbacks can come and go due to injury, due to fragility. Head coaches, you should be hiring for the long term. And Mike McDaniel feels like anything but right now.
And that's the problem is, I would assume he would be better at this. He's supposed to be one of those offensive masterminds, one of these play-calling geniuses. Mm-hmm. Like, we see what Ben Johnson is doing with Jared Goff, right? Who a lot of people gave up on. We see what Kevin Stefanski was able to do with Joe Flacco. We're watching live. We're watching in real time what Kevin O'Connell is able to do with the Minnesota Vikings and Sam Darnold. This is coaches getting the most out of quarterbacks. This is reclamations that are happening throughout the National Football League at the quarterback position. Whereas we talked about it before the show, so many years before, like, it was one and done for quarterbacks. You got an opportunity, you stink, nobody gives you another chance.
Bust.
Or for those busts, their second chance was generally as a backup, and when they got in, they looked just as bad as they used to.
Yeah.
But now, you got Baker Mayfield still baking at least a decent enough temperature, 350 on for 30 minutes. You got Sam Darnold, you got Geno Smith.
Who looked great last night in the loss.
These are quarterbacks that if I told you 7 or 8 years ago, yeah, some of these dudes are going to be in the MVP conversation for different teams later on. You would have slapped me across the face. You would have slapped me. Rightfully so. I would have took it. I wouldn't have even responded. I was like, you're right. I deserve that.
Thanks for keeping me in check.
Yeah. I'm an idiot. Slap me again. Turn the other cheek. That's what I would have had to do. But these guys have not turned the other cheek. They have literally turned their careers around, and it has always been directly tied to good coaching and better situations. Sam Darnold went from the Jets and the Panthers to the 49ers and now the Vikings. What are the differences between those four teams? Bad coach, good coach. Sam Darnold is the MVP conversation. He's the MVP of the league right now.
Yes.
He's not in the conversation. He's the front runner. He's the leader for MVP, though it won't show that way in the, you know, in Vegas. He is the guy who has the best numbers on a team that is undefeated. We got to get Mike Tannenbaum's perspective on this. Mike Tannenbaum is a former executive vice president with the Miami Dolphins, also former general manager of the New York Jets. He's seen good quarterbacks. He's seen bad quarterbacks. He's hired good coaches. He's fired bad coaches. We'll get his perspective on the state of the league, specifically with the quarterback position and also specifically for the Dolphins. Do they have a quarterback problem or do they have a coaching problem? Mike Tannenbaum joins us on the other side. He answers that. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. It's a Tuesday, Taco Tuesday, on Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
It's a Taco and Tequila Tuesday. We'll have Tina in for happy hour on the other side. But this is also the Tuesday following week four of the NFL season where, I mean, thank God we had two Monday night football games because one of them an absolute stinker and the other one, I mean, Lions Seahawks 42-29. The Detroit Lions win it. And what a performance from Jared Goff. Here to give his first reaction from that, our guy, the general manager of Theoretically Speaking, former GM of the Jets, former boss of the Dolphins, Mike Tannenbaum, pulling up on a Tuesday. Mike T., how'd you enjoy a little Monday Night Football doubleheader action there?
It was great. I mean, what a great day of sports, right? Braves, Mets, doubleheader. Mm. That was really, really good action. What happened in that Met game, the first game of the doubleheader was crazy. And then, you know, if you like defense and old school football, the Dolphin-Titan game was for you. And then, you know, Jared Goff pitched a perfect game.
Well, was it a good game for defense or was it just the Dolphins not showing up on offense? Like, do you think that was more Titans ruining the game plan or the Dolphins having a lackluster one in the first place?
You know, I want to give the Dolphins a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. You know, if you think about all the repetitions you have as it relates to the offseason. So, I think what you want to see from a Dolphin perspective, hopefully, is you go up to New England and you see progress and you try to, you know, hold serve enough to keep hope alive. So if and when Tua comes back, there are still meaningful games to play.
There is last night I saw Mason Rudolph step in for the Titans, who didn't get a lot of those reps that you talked about and look sufficient in helping them move the ball. I've seen with the Packers, I've seen Willis step in and win two games for them under good coaching with Matt LaFleur. We've seen it happen all throughout the NFL the past 2 years. Good coaches winning with backup quarterbacks. What is it about Mike McDaniel that has him 1-6 without Tua Tagovailoa, who we don't even hold in the same realm as some of these guys who have had their backups replace them to good standards?
Yeah, no, that's fair, Theo. The only other thing I'd add for context here is the fact that you know, Skylar Thompson was the backup. So, you know, apples to apples, when we talk about Mason Rudolph, you know, Snoop Hundley is the third string. So it's just hard, you know, when you just don't have as much time in practice, guys, in the regular season, you know, to get the reps for the backup, let alone, you know, a guy that you just signed off of the Ravens practice squad. So, look, I'm not defending it, saying that was great football, but context here is important. He was the third stringer, and, you know, let's see how the next couple of weeks look.
Didn't Kevin O'Connell win a game with Josh Dobbs when he traded for him on Tuesday and they won on Sunday? I'm just – I like Mike McDaniel, right? Like, I want for them to be successful in a good operation in Miami. It's better for us here on Theoretically Speaking when they're doing well. I just do feel like we're starting to give them way too many excuses when I'm seeing other coaches – I mean, the same guy that has Sam Darnold as the MVP frontrunner right now literally traded for Josh Dobbs on a Tuesday and won with him on a Sunday.
Yep, and I think that does happen from time to time, but, you know, like, that's a little bit of, you know, the exception to the rule, meaning, you know, more times than not, it's going to be, you know, what we saw last night. And look, you know, football is a game of inches. You know, that throw to Tyreek Hill, you know, he overthrows him late in the game. Look, they probably don't win the game with that, but I think – from a Dolphin perspective, you wake up today saying, like, okay, we hit a home run. We got something to build on. And, again, it's a game of inches. And I think, in fairness, if you're playing quarterback, guys, like, Tyreek Hill is just one of one. His play speed is just rare. And it just, again, you need the repetitions and, you know, just to get, you know, in sync with him.
Mike Tannenbaum joining us here to help, you know, coach me through my Monday morning or Tuesday afternoon quarterbacking here as I'm over here criticizing him, providing some context. Can you give me some context here? What do you think was more impressive from Jared Goff? The perfect game throwing the ball, 18 for 18, or how about that over-the-shoulder catch and stride from Amon-Ra St. Brown on the receiving touchdown?
That was fun to watch, but gosh, 18 guys, if you 18 for 18 at practice, that's a heck of a day. I mean, that's just hard to do against air. You know, there's periods in football, routes versus air. They're 7-on-7. You know, you want to see a good Friday practice where the ball doesn't hit the ground. You know, red zone, short yards, goal line. But gosh, you know, in an NFL game, you know, against a team that look, they were missing some stars last night, but a good Seattle Seahawks defense for the ball not to hit the ground is really, really rare, and it shows you what an exceptional night Jared Goff had.
Absolutely exceptional, and the snub of the week was Dan Campbell not giving him a game ball. I don't know what else he has to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Mike T joining us here on Theoretically Speaking on a Tuesday following a couple of great games. Another question, a little this or that for you. More likely to be playing in a Jets uniform come Thanksgiving, Davante Adams or Hassan Reddick?
It should be Hassan Reddick. I mean, talked about this a lot. If he really wanted to put pressure on the Jets, he should be there every day. It's cost himself $6, $7 million at this point.
$9 million, I think, is the number now.
Nine? Yeah, it's crazy. So, like, to me, I think Davante Adams could get traded. If I'm the Raiders, I don't want to trade him within the conference. Number of teams could be looking for a receiver in the next couple of weeks. Maybe a team like Dallas steps up, you know, down the stretch here. But at some point, I think Hassan Reddick has to wake up and say, like, hey, I got to get in.
Yeah, Mike, I'm looking at a rejuvenation of the run game in the NFL. Two different ways of doing it. One was on display last night with the 1-2 punch running back duo of Montgomery and Gibbs in Detroit. But then I also see Baltimore with Derrick Henry giving Derrick Henry, you know, four running back, a pretty large contract, and he looked like he was 5 years younger than he did on Sunday night. Is Derrick Henry going to be the exception to the rule, and is someone else going to get fooled into a running back contract that they will regret?
Yeah, look, it's a good question. I'd say this. Context is everything, guys. Like, when you can pay a running back $8, $9 million on a salary cap that's $250 million, it's, you know, you have plenty of room to, you know, still build a really good team.
Yeah.
You know, to me, the quarterback position is kind of more interesting. You know, would you rather have Baker Mayfield at 30 or Trevor Lawrence at 55? Like, look, do I think over time Trevor Lawrence will outplay Baker Mayfield? Absolutely. Do $20 a year? So all this is about resource allocation. And I think the running back position, Derrick Henry or whomever else, like, if you pay correctly, guys, like, Saquon Barkley at $12 million a year, that wasn't prohibitive for the Eagles to still build, you know, a good team around him.
Mike Tannenbaum joining us here. I want to not call you out, but give you room for correction on some things you were very strong on coming into this NFL season. Your two favorite quarterbacks that I think you spoke the highest on this season were J.J. McCarthy and Jordan Love. And I'm just going to say it. The Vikings, undefeated without J.J. McCarthy. The Packers, undefeated without Jordan Love. How you feeling, Mike T? How's the what's the barometer for you on these things? And don't give me the context stuff.
No, you can't. You cannot hold his feet to the fire on J.J. McCarthy. That's unfair. Mike, do not address J.J. McCarthy here. Jordan Love, though, we got questions.
I'm just saying.
I mean, think about how much better they'd be, how much more they'd be winning with those other two quarterbacks.
Oh, really? How much more can you win than four games through 4 weeks, Mike T? I don't know. But no, for real, what do you take from this Sam Darnold MVP campaign in all seriousness, man? The dude is playing very well.
Yeah, you know, it's a great conversation when you look at him, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, and Geno Smith together. Like, quarterback's a developmental position. And here's what's a fun conversation is, if Sam Darnold continues to play this way, like, at the end of the year, he's going to make a lot of money. Mm. That was a one-year deal. So, you know, lots to unpack there. But I did their game a couple weeks against Houston, and I think if they play the defense the way they are, he'll be smart with the ball. I'm not saying he's going to be the MVP, but boy, he has a chance to have a really meaningful season. And man, you're talking about hitting the lottery. He's going to triple what he's making this year next year.
That is probably the one of the bigger storylines that people aren't talking about enough is the, you know, Sam Darnold going from a wasteland quarterback, a bust, to now a guy that could be a $40 to $50 million quarterback next year based on how other quarterbacks are being paid and how he's playing. That would be absolutely amazing. Mike T, one more thing here. The Kansas City Chiefs somehow are still undefeated at 4-0. They've struggled in every single game, but they found ways to win. What would you do if you were in that front office right now with the wide receiver position now that Mahomes took out his number one target in Rashee Rice? And it's clear that they're going to need to add somebody between now and the trade deadline if they want to be competitive come the end of the year.
Scour. They need to scour, guys. They need to look high and low. Look, Davante Adams is going to be traded within the division, but maybe it's Amari Cooper. Mm. Maybe it's, you know, Deontay Johnson, who went from Pittsburgh to Carolina. Go get a receiver. You obviously have a chance to win it all three times in a row. And, you know, with Rice out, you know, Hollywood Brown out, like, they're going to have to get somebody. That's the bad news. Is the good news is you can go find one. I know there was speculation online about could it be Tyreek Hill. I doubt, you know, we're going to see a reunion there.
Yeah, I was going to ask, is it even plausible for the Dolphins to trade Tyreek Hill, even if they do lose these next few and Tua doesn't come back this year? Like, that contract doesn't even kick in, I think, the restructure until next year anyways. And it would be really weird to see them part ways with him, especially if they're trying to bring Tua back.
That's right. I think it'd be very unusual if that happens.
Okay. Just making sure, because when that trade talk stuff started flaring up, my mouth started watering as a Chiefs fan. That would be amazing. We just got Kareem Hunt back. Bring Tyreek Hill back again and three-peats on the way. So that's not happening. We'll close the door on that. Mike T, appreciate your time, and we'll catch up with you next week.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Great stuff as always there from Mike T, our guy, our general manager who provides the context. I think he went to that line with us like three different times today because we were getting a little out of hand just 4 weeks into the season. And Mike Tannenbaum's appearances here on Theoretically Speaking, always brought to you by Eisner Amper. We appreciate him. It kind of reminds me of like when you're with your parents and you think you have this big theory. It's like when you come back from college freshman year and you're letting your folks know about all of these things you learned and the new ways your mind has expanded. You think you know so much and they're like, yo, cool it. You know?
Yeah.
This is about how much you learned and this is about how much the world is working.
Yeah, I saw a tweet that I agree with. It's like two very dumb people yelling, talking to each other, saying exactly like what's going on in that conversation is probably not very fruitful and probably very stupid. Me and you talking together for too long, I think we foster negative things.
We spent like 30 minutes going exactly, exactly. We bring Mike T in, he's like, guys, context.
Yeah, context. I'm very happy there's not a microphone in my car. When we were driving down to Miami yesterday, we were like getting to the we were talking about the world in a weird way.
We were. We got into some deep, the crevices of like, this kind of stuff you would find on Reddit.
Yes.
By the way, you're on Reddit getting flamed right now. We're going to have to address that at some point today.
Yeah.
You're getting flamed for your style of commissioning your fantasy football league, which I'm in, by the way.
Yeah, it's tough being in fantasy football nowadays. Like, you are the boss of 12 people that are not in the same spot at the same time.
Yeah.
And they're just having their way with me. And it's a problem. And I try to turn to the knowledge of the internet, and the internet spat in my face.
We're going to address that because that needs to be it's just funny because you put it out there to Reddit thinking you would be like, they'd be like, yeah, man, hey, you know what? We're on your side. Here's how you can fix your problem. And then instead they looked at you and said, actually, you're the problem.
Exactly.
You're the problem.
Call me stupid, dumb as bleep. Yeah, it's tough.
It is. It is. You'll recover. You'll recover. In fact, that's fantasy football like a league. But if you missed your chance to jump into a redraft league or a dynasty league or a keepers league, how about I interest you in some daily fantasy football? Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. And it's the easiest, most exciting way to have some action on daily fantasy sports. All you do is you pick more or less on player props between 2 and 6 different players, and you watch the winnings roll in like I've been able to do throughout football season. Let's not forget, it's not just football season right now. We got some playoff action with the ladies on the hardwood. We got some college football action on Saturdays. If you want to get in on any of this stuff, tap in right now. Tap in, especially right now, because this is where you can kind of use that intelligence you've had. You've been watching all of the games of this team, Rock. Oh, you know that wide receiver, he's going to get a lot of receptions this game. He gets open against man coverage. They play a lot of man. You're going to want to hit more on his yards or receptions. It's as easy as that. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. I actually saw this come into play for me the other day during the action on Sunday. I had a lineup that I entered. The first 3 of them hit. The last one I needed would have been Kyler Murray more than 270 passing yards. Yes, it's a stretch, but I thought it would be a shootout between the Cardinals and the Commanders. Turns out, only one team showed up to play.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
I think it was $10 would have got me up to 600.
Yeah.
Come on, Kyler Murray. It's all good, though. It's all love because you get to come at it and get another spin every single time, every single game, every single lineup. Download Prize Picks today. Use the use the promo code THEOD, and you instantly get $50 when you play $5. That's THEOD on Prize Picks. My brother did it the other day. It works instantly. Boom. You play a $5 lineup. They give you $50 guaranteed. You don't even have to win that lineup. That $50, that's on the house. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks. Run your game. C-Cat, speaking of your game, you know what time it is. You know exactly what time it is. You don't know what time it is?
No, what time is it?
It's time for trivia. Theoretically speaking. Left me hanging there, man.
I didn't know what time it was.
You think you know a guy, you take a whole long car trip with him to Heat Media Day. We're talking about the deep, dark secrets of the world and how everything works. And he forgets, he leaves me hanging right here on the radio airwaves.
Well, Theo, my trivia question for you, and remember, you're worse at trivia than I am because the one time we went head-to-head in trivia was last week and I won that.
Context is everything. 1 week, one data point.
Sam Darnold, we've been talking about how Sam Darnold is right now. The world ended today. Yep. We have a lot of problems to worry about, but one thing we would know is that the MVP would go to Sam Darnold in this 4-week travesty of an NFL season. Sam Darnold's been fantastic. He has the best passer rating in the NFL right now through these 4 games. My question for you, Theo Dorsey, if that is your real name.
I think it is, actually.
Who has the second best passer rating in the NFL through 4 weeks? Passer rating.
Not QBR, not passing yards, passer rating.
Correct.
That's the one that goes up to like 1-something, 120 or something. I don't know. Perfect passer rating. 156?
I think so.
I think that's the ceiling of 156.
Somehow Jared Goff didn't have a perfect passer rating last night.
Wow.
Despite being perfect, because of how the math works, he didn't get a perfect passer rating.
That's obviously not a perfect stat.
No.
Yeah, there's flaws with that. I'm a QBR guy myself, but okay. Who has the second best passer rating? Who has the second best passer rating behind Sam Darnold? We'll answer that question. Plus, we hop on the get around on the other side. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're talking a little baseball. A little baseball. Braves, Mets on the other side. We're theoretically speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
C-Cat, I didn't know you were a blocker.
A blocker?
A blocker. You know, like when you're getting on an entryway, a feeder, onto a highway and people are using that shoulder to scoot past the traffic. We're backed up coming back from Miami Heat Media Day.
You mean a vigilante?
Yeah.
Taking the law into my own hands.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yes.
Don't do that.
Don't be
that guy.
They had to prove to me that they're either having a baby or on the way for an emergency.
How would they prove to you that?
Roll the window down, talk to me. We're human beings. A little throwback.
So then what would you do then? You would have to reverse your car out of the shoulder to let them then pass up the rest of traffic?
Yes.
That would take a lot of time because when you're peeked into the shoulder there, people are going to get behind you.
If I have to delay one pregnancy, what's the word? Giving birth?
In labor?
Yeah.
One woman in labor?
If I have to delay one woman in labor in my life, but the sacrifice is made in order to stop many drivers who are unlawfully driving on the shoulder, that's worth it to me. I think she'll understand.
I think you know nothing about pregnant women if you think she'll understand that. We'll continue on with Theoretically Speaking. We have some trivia to pay off. You asked me which quarterback in the NFL has the second highest passer rating behind Sam Darnold right now in the National Football League. This is a tough one because I'm guessing it's not Jared Goff. Based on the fact that he didn't have a perfect passer rating last night, though he had an 18-for-18 game.
Jared Goff is number 14 on the list.
That's crazy. So it's not QBR. It's passer rating. Who's thrown for a lot of yards? If Sam Darnold is the answer, that means it's a lot of touchdowns. Who else has thrown for a lot of passing touchdowns this year? It's not Brock Purdy. It's definitely not Mahomes. Maybe Justin Herbert? I'll just go with this. I'll give an answer just so we can get the actual right answer because I have no clue. And I'll go with... Can't be Justin Herbert. Don't have your finger on the wrong, but...
Yeah. It's Josh Allen. Wow. Josh Allen has the second highest passer rating in the NFL for 2024.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know how they do passer rating because this is a weird stat. It goes Darnold at 1... Josh Allen at 2, Jaden Daniels at 3, Baker Mayfield at 4, and if for some reason I was going to include him, I wouldn't. Joe Flacco at 5 with one game played.
That wouldn't work.
But the real damning stat with passer rating here is I look at the bottom of quarterbacks that have played 4 games. The bottom 3 are all rookies. It's Richardson, Bo Nix, and Caleb Williams.
Damn, I knew it was coming. I don't care about passer rating, though. Give me QBR all day. Give me QBR. I'm a QBR man.
Josh Allen, number 1 in QBR.
Yeah. He's been playing a bunch of scrubs, so I'm not surprised. It's easy to be number 1 in QBR and passer rating when you're playing a bunch of teams that are folding over, that are bursting at the seams with incompetence. Let's hop on the Get Around. I get around. What you mean you don't know? And I'm not anti-Josh Allen. I'm just pro-context, like Mike Tannenbaum. You need context before you start gifting a man an MVP. Dude ain't even did nothing yet.
Next stop. The first stop on the Get Around brings us to Detroit, Michigan.
Hey.
Had horrible food poisoning the one time I went there. Stopped at this fast food joint after a Penn State hockey game. And it ruined me for 3 weeks.
What was your problem going to a Penn State hockey game? Waste of time.
Big Ten championship. They won the game in double overtime. But I had...
Did you visit Motown? Did you visit Motown?
No. Went to the arena. I forget it was called the Joe or something.
Yeah.
And then it closed that arena. But we're in Detroit.
Okay, yeah. We're back in Detroit. Yeah.
Because quarterback Jared Goff threw a perfect game.
Oldest city.
NFL record by completing all 18 of his passes to help the Lions beat the Seahawks 42-29 for the first time since 2012.
And he didn't get a game ball. It went to Jamison Williams on the offensive side. Dan Campbell, that's not how you motivate your bunch. You got to reward guys for putting forth a good effort. I am actually shocked that in a game where Jared Goff also caught a ball over the shoulder for a touchdown, he didn't get the game ball. That's kind of weird. It wasn't just a perfect passer rating. The fact that he actually completed that pass, that reception from Amon-Ra St. Brown, he deserved it.
Yeah, he deserved it. That was and it wasn't just dinking and dunking. Right? Yeah. We've seen quarterbacks with air yards that are in the single digits,
Josh Allen.
It seems like. Sometimes Josh Allen. sometimes Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
He broke that streak with Xavier Worthy over the weekend, but no, Goff was airing it out down the field, hitting his guys and crossing routes. I was very impressed by Jared Goff last night.
He looks good, especially when he's in a dome. He's a good quarterback.
Next stop.
Well, we're going to Germany. You ever been?
No, and I don't think I ever will.
Why?
I mean, not that I have anything against Germany. I just have no interest in going to Germany.
Well, we're in Germany because Adam Schefter gave a dramatic update on the Christian McCaffrey injury that's really leaving everyone puzzled.
Questions persist about Christian McCaffrey. He's dealing with Achilles tendonitis, actually in both legs now, Scott. Both legs, not just one. That's been an ongoing recurring issue. So there remains a major question as to when McCaffrey will be back for the 49ers.
Ooh, spooky.
Yeah.
Spooky. Spooky season. Spooky message from Adam Schefter. The dramatics, the theatrics. Was he a theater kid in college?
Had to school? Be. He does his makeup too well.
Yeah.
Because he's doing a lot of that stuff from home.
And his hair's on point, too.
Exactly. So he does his own makeup.
You know, maybe does he have a wife? Maybe his wife does his makeup.
I think she's got a career of her own.
I used to do my own makeup when I was on TV. It's not that hard.
I've never put makeup on my face.
Really?
Ever. I know. Shocking. With how sharp I look on the camera if you go on YouTube or on Twitter.
Next stop.
How about Atlanta? Atlanta, Georgia. Truist Park specifically for this next stop in the get around. We go from city to city, topic to topic. Tell you everything you need to know in the world of sports. The Mets and Braves have both clinched playoff berths by splitting their doubleheader yesterday. That iced out the Diamondbacks in the playoffs. And to make it even worse for Diamondbacks fans, to rub the salt in the wound for D-back Nation. The Mets and the Braves, they celebrated on the field together after the doubleheader. Division rivals.
Wow. That's soft. This is why I told you I'm okay with wearing opposing teams' jerseys or any baseball jersey in any baseball park, no matter who's playing, because baseball fans, baseball teams, everybody around the sport, non-threatening. Nobody gonna beat my ass. You got two division rivals celebrating together, popping champagne bottles and flooding each other with bubbly because they're both making the playoffs because nobody had that dog in them to shut the other one out of the playoffs. If I'm a D-backs fan or what you call them? D-backs Nation?
Yeah.
Do they say that?
I don't know.
D-backs Nation? Hey, D-backs Nation, stand up. Rise up. And go whoop some ass. Not literally, but like on the baseball diamond next year.
Maybe. You want to incite violence in the airwaves against the FCC? Yeah, don't verbally be mean to Mets and Braves fans. Can we say that?
If you're a lifelong internet troll, at least, first off, don't be that. But if you are that and you're a Diamondbacks fan, I don't know how you're not in the mentions of every single player on both of those teams for the rest of the playoffs.
That is very annoying. You just knew they were going to split that series.
Yeah. Cowardly.
Listen, it's competitive advantage to not really throw your best pitchers in the second game. If you win the first game, why risk injury? Why risk anything at all just to spite your division rival? But they owe it for the sanctity of the league.
Please. Because if this doubleheader happened in, I don't know, July, then you would be gone for this week.
That's a big reason why it was not competitively correct by the by Major League Baseball to do it this way.
No.
Sure, it made it very dramatic. Francisco Lindor hit that home run for the Mets to win game one, but it wasn't fair to the Diamondbacks.
I got an idea next time. Okay. I got an idea. Next time that situation arises, Major League Baseball needs to step in. Listen up. Who's it now? Rob, what's his name again? Rob Manfred. Listen up. All right. I'll send this through Buster Olney. He's a friend of ESPN West Palm now. He'll get this to Rob Manfred. The Diamondbacks get to actually visit. They get to be there at Truist Park next time, right?
Yeah.
And they get to watch the first game. And after the first game concludes, they get to pick whether they go out and play the second team, right? The losing team for a spot in the playoffs, or if they want the team that won the first game to play that second one and do it. So they should have the optionality to insert themselves into that second game and do the job that the Mets decided not to finish. That's how you add some theater. And you know what? I would have watched that.
Yeah.
I would have tuned in if they, after the first game of the doubleheader, brought the Diamondbacks out there on the field, on the mound, and they got to declare on the microphone, hey, no.
We got next?
We got next.
I like that. Maybe we could throw some heckles.
Yeah. Or if you think you couldn't beat them and you think that the lackluster effort of the Mets would be better than you, you say, hey, we don't believe in ourselves. Mets, get out there, finish the job. But I don't think the Mets, the fate of the Diamondbacks shouldn't have been in the Mets' hands in the first place. Also, if you're the D-backs, just win more games during the regular season. That's the get around. That was fun. We got Tina pulling up for the happy hour. I don't want to keep her waiting. She is antsy. She has been, we kept her off the show yesterday because Miami Heat Media Day. She was so sad about that. So sad. Like, I literally heard she was talking to people in the office, mad that we did not take her on our road trip to Miami Heat Media Day.
I would do it again. Sorry, Tina.
I would do it again, too, because Tina told us a big fat lie last week before she left the show on why she was missing Friday, and she has to come and make up for that today on the happy hour. She says she has a good enough excuse. I don't know yet, because she lied to us in our face. She lied to the fans of Theoretically Speaking, and the happy hour suffered because of it. We'll get Tina to confess her lies on the other side. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. The happy hour is next on a Taco Tuesday on Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.